There is actually nothing in today's bulletin as by way of announcements that needs to be emphasized, so you can read it for yourselves, of course. That seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today, of course, is Sexagesima Sunday, as we are traveling head on into the season of Lent, and the Church presents to us during these days in particular those readings from Scripture which are most appropriate in getting us to form a good mentality toward what is ahead of us. Of course, today, St. Paul, in the very beautiful epistle which the Church presented to us today, and St. Paul is always the greatest, but today is the day of the year that we take time out, everybody, to feel sorry for poor St. Paul, who had a very hard time of it, and he himself is feeling quite sorry for himself as he is presenting all of his many, many, and countless hardships. But St. Paul was indeed the soldier that we know him to be, and we know the mood that he used in talking about his hardships. But we can use this, as we should, as our example to do likewise. And when we come to complain, as oftentimes we do, and we start feeling sorry for ourselves, and we start giving out with a litany of the terrible things that God permits us to have to suffer, perhaps we too might be giving an answer, might have been given an answer, like he gave St. Paul, that is, if we're listening, "My grace is sufficient for thee." We all have hardships, and we all have things to endure. We may not be shipwrecked, we may not be in the middle of the sea for a night and a day, but some of the things that we have to endure in our own way of life, to us at least, may be as grievous and as burdensome as those that faced St. Paul. He, of course, faced these with the grace that was given to him by Almighty God. As we are approaching Lent, it would be idle for us to go into Lent if we do not have the proper sentiments. It would be a complete waste of time. Next Sunday, I won't go into next Sunday's epistle today, I'll leave next Sunday to next Sunday. Next Sunday we go into the magnificent epistle of St. Paul concerning charity. I will not talk about that today. That is better than what we can give forth with. But as we enter into Lent, without a genuine desire to improve ourselves internally, it would be idle for us to go into Lent at all. It would make more sense if we just simply bypassed Lent completely and entirely. Lent is not a time when we simply take our clothes and put them in the washing machine and wash them and iron them and put them on for Easter Sunday morning's Mass. There's much more to Lent than that. That is mere externalism. And today, it seems that most of us are involved. Most of us have a concern with externalisms. We spend too much time in the beautification of that which is going to end up under the ground anyway. We spend too much time in being concerned about achievement. Today's society is totally, completely given into achievement. Everybody wants to have first place in everything. Better yet, everybody wants to be one cut above the first place that the man next door might have. We're all of us, this is a fungus, all of us have taken in this fungus. And all of us, regardless of who we are, if we had the balance, the scale, on which to place achievement and the things that go with achievement and all the mentality that goes with achievement and all that goes with the ways of the world, if we really look at ourselves and put this on the one side, and on the other side put our real, deep-seated, deep-rooted, honest regard for the things that pertain to God, and the regulations and the restrictions and the demands and the commands of Almighty God, and our genuine desire to take heed of these commands and restrictions and obligations and so on that are placed upon every man on earth by Almighty God. If we put this on the other side of the balance, my dear people, in all honesty, which side of the balance is going to tilt to the direction of that which pertains to the world? As we go out and walk the streets of paradise, as we walk the streets of the marketplace, do we have within us, in our hearts, the same sentiments as might be expressed by St. Paul? I think I've told you before, or I've remarked to you before, you shouldn't tell. I think I've remarked to you before, brought to our attention, that for a long, long, long time, I did not fully understand what our Lord said, seeing that they may not see, and hearing that they may not hear. Intellectually, we can see. Intellectually, we can hear. You know for certain that the Pharisees and the scribes, much earlier, they certainly heard intellectually, didn't they? And they certainly saw intellectually, didn't they? There's no question about it. as far as their intellect went, they had all of this information within them. And they could expose it, and they could enlarge upon it. They could speak of it. They could be fluent, and they were fluent in what they had to say about it. But my beloved people, when truth itself was standing in front of them, they failed to see it. They knew all about it. They knew all about him. They could tell you all about him. But when he came and stood in front of him, of them, they didn't know him. And thus it is with us. We have to go beyond simply looking at this as an intellectual activity. There are too many of us as traditional people who are quite concerned about the preservation of things as once they were. But other than the preservation of things as they were, and items as they were, and customs as they were, we need to re-examine, and Lent's a good time to do it, we need to re-examine what our devotion to traditionalism really demands of us. We have to come to a full comprehension, not understanding, but comprehension. We understand a lot of things that we don't comprehend, because comprehension goes a lot deeper than understanding. We have to comprehend what goes on up there on top of those steps. Too many do not know. They see the activity. We had a visitor recently, and it seems that that visitor, the minute that that visitor walked into the church or walked into the premises, it's almost like that visitor had a checklist of things that were right, things that were wrong, almost a stopwatch to see how long it took the priest to do this and how long it took the priest not to do that, because this person was able to say, this took too long, that didn't take long enough, blah, blah, here, and blah, blah, there, and so on, and so on, and so on. That person who claims to be a person who knows all about prayer, that person walked in front of the church, walked into the church, and walked all the way through the consecration of the Mass, and was so busy seeing how long it took the priest to do this and how he held his hands, if he held them too far out or too far in or too far up or too far down or one up and one down or whichever, that person forgot all about the consecration. And this, my dear people, is something that we need to guard against, because that good person is not alone. And I know lots of them. That person by name could very well be put into scripture if you lift out the name Pharisee or scribe or whatever, because they were concerned about whether the plates were clean or whether the hands were washed are all the little things. And what did our Lord say about those good and wonderful men? Whited sepulchers. Beautiful on the outside. Never making a mistake. Flawlessness. And inside, they were full of dead men's bones. What a terrible thing to be said about anybody. Hardly could be said worse than that, than from one to come to me and say to me, how wonderful you look, how well you say Mass, how well you preach, how well you do this and how well you do that. And I am impressed with how well you do all things. But inside, you are dead. Christ does not look, God rather, does not look at how well I do things. I speak in the first person singular. God does not look at how well I do things or how capable I am to do things well. God does not look at that. The only thing that God sees is the motive that inspires me to do anything, good, bad, or indifferent. And that's the thing that we have the hardest, that we have the worst time grappling with. God does not need me, as I've said before. God does not need me to go up and hang the moon in the sky every night. I sometimes feel that really and truly I better be around at night to make sure the moon gets hung up. And I have the feeling, too, that I think Almighty God appreciates it when I do hang the moon up every night. He kind of needs me, too. I think I have that feeling. Don't we all? God does not need me. And you want to know something? After I'm dead and buried under 6 feet of dirt, somehow or other, the moon continues to be hung up every night. I wonder who is doing that. God does not care whether I do the job well or not so well. The only thing that he wants to know is the motive behind me when I do anything, whether it is drinking a glass full of water. That's all that God is interested in. And we have the hardest time understanding that. So during Lent, this is the time when we should take time out and reevaluate what our purpose is. And because we have failed, generally speaking, the human race, let's say, because, and we take, and the human race therefore takes in everybody. Let's not leave anybody out. And because the human race has failed to comprehend the purpose behind everything, look at where it has gone. It has literally fallen off the edge of the cliff, hasn't it? We won't go into that this morning, because we'll be here the rest of the day if we do, and I'll run out of tape space. But my beloved people, we must. It's not a matter of making some kind of an idle resolution. Until we are able to expose the door of our hearts, not in the way of going in front of somebody and saying, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the worst. It's not to other people that really I have to make this exposal. I have to expose myself to God. I have to open up the door of my heart and I've got to say, dear God, this is the way I am, and I have to do something about it. Have you not ever heard people say, this is the way God made me, therefore, leave me alone. I'm satisfied. Why aren't you satisfied with the way God made me? And this is the cop-out of all cop-outs. Because we're blaming God outright for being good for nothing. Therefore, my dear people, maybe someday I'll preach a cheerful sermon, but I don't believe in telling jokes. I don't think the pulpit is a place for jokes. Today, the pulpit is used quite often in many places for jokes or for storytelling. We don't tell stories at the pulpit. We have to look at the matter the way it is. Time is drawing short. You know it, I know it, and the butterflies know it. And it's time that we took things as they are seriously to be prepared. We do not know what, we do not know how, we do not know when. But in any case, if we ourselves are prepared, we do not need to take off into the hills to run away from everything. Stay right where we are, because if we stand there, in all of this calamity, for us anyway, not to make us feel better than anybody else, but let us hope at least, the sky will open and we will see the glory and the majesty of God. But until the scales fall off of my eyes and my ears are open, I will not see and I will not hear. I will not understand. And even if the sky opens up in front of me with all of the majesty of a sunburst, I will not see it. It will not be there for me to see, because I will be blind. The Pharisees were in front of the sun, standing right there face to face. They touched him. They spoke to him. They ate with him. They went around with him. They walked with him. And they didn't know it. Pray God that it is not so with us. I want you and us. I want us to know him with all of the beauty that is there for us to see. That's all I'm interested in. And you want to know something? The older you get, the greater this interest becomes, doesn't it? Children are not worried about it. But the older we get, the livelier this interest begins. And I heard an old priest once say he had read every book that could be picked up, and he remembered everything. He must have had an oversized computer-type brain, because nothing was ever read that he didn't remember. And he told me, he said one night, he was an old man in his 80s. He knew he was going to soon die. He was trying to get himself ready. And he said, "Son, in those days I could be called son." He said, "Son, I have just come to the conclusion that here I am at the end of my life, and I know so little about my God."